you for that, and thank you for being here. And by the way, it's Chuck's 80th birthday. By the way, guy's crazy. He was out on the water a couple weeks ago. He was out wave surfing on a boat at 80 years old. It's a bad idea. I'm just going to say it right there. But so make sure you congratulate him, 80 years old. I'm excited to see what he's doing when he's 90. Okay. Brother Tongdi, this is not Thailand. Okay. That's what you said. You were said you were in Thailand. You were right here. Thank you. By the way, missionaries, remember when you sent us a video, landscape, it fits better. So thank you for that, Brother Tongdi. I appreciate it. Good to have you back with us. But we are in our discipleship book. It's taken a little longer than I thought. We're in chapter number 4 today. By the way, if you are newer and if you haven't got one of those books, we need to have some of those. Maybe Evelyn, next time we can have some of them at the information desk if you'd like to get one of those as we go forward. We probably have about 6 weeks left, and so we're excited. And I'm excited about the offering Sunday. Thank you for the testimonies. I'm very excited about that. And just praying that the Lord does something great through that offering and we get this thing done. It is really going forward and we're looking forward to that. We are in the chapter entitled Danger Ahead. We're talking about really temptation. We mentioned last week that before that Satan had two goals for your life. The first goal was before you were saved that you would never get saved. He doesn't want us to become believers. But once we get saved, that battle's over, but the other battle isn't over. He doesn't want us to live for Christ. He doesn't want us to be a testimony. He doesn't want us to be a witness. He doesn't want us to live for God and be a shining light in this world. And so he tries to derail us, and if he can do it in a temporary sense, he will. If he can do it in a permanent sense, he will. And like we talked about war, landmines they throw to thwart the advancement or destroy an army. He throws landmines at us, and they are called temptations. Last week, we looked at the difference between temptations and trials. Sometimes we get confused about that. And James talks about both of those in chapter 1. Of course, trials are, maybe this is a strong term I shouldn't use, originate from God. Or God allows trials in our life. Temptation originates from Satan. Trials are brought into our life or allowed in our life by God to bring us to maturity, but temptation is trying to destroy us. Last week we talked about, we started in the plan of temptation. The Bible fills us in, it clues us in as to what Satan is going to do. We are not left in the dark, okay? We know, I talked about last week, how we understand what Satan's main doctrine is. If Satan had a doctrine that he would teach, it's something that was the very first thing that he did when he showed up in the Garden of Eden. It's basically that you be your own God. You make your own decisions, you decide what's right and wrong, and you be in charge of your life, not God. So the whistle has been blown on Satan. We talked about that. We got right up to the point is, so what is his plan? What does he do? And that's what we're going to look at this evening. So what is involved in Satan's plan of temptation to try to ruin our lives? Let me give you some thoughts. Look at the we're under the little paragraph there. The first thought is to draw us away. To draw us away. The first thing Satan tries to do is to draw us away from a place of safety to a place of danger. Now, his goal in drawing us away is to get us away from safety, so we'll make that decision to give in to temptation and place ourselves in spiritual and sometimes physical danger. We're going to look at the verse in James where it talks about being drawn away. We'll get to that in a minute. But that phrase in James, drawn away, pictures the baiting of a trap. When you put a trap out, you bait it. And you're baiting the trap with the thought of making it desirable for that which you're trying to catch. I mentioned years ago, we used to have a rat in our garage, and I tried everything to get him. I put a trap out there, and I put peanut butter. I thought, who doesn't like peanut butter? If there was peanut butter on a trap, you would probably see my lip caught, right? I mean, I thought he'd like it. And we would literally go out there, and maybe I'm just hallucinating, but the peanut butter was gone and the trap didn't go off. And I think that rat literally never got caught. I think he got bored and he moved away. So I went one time, I told my wife, I said, we got to get rid of this dumb animal. I'm like, just go to Home Depot and get whatever they have. And she bought like four or five things, and one of them was a little poison pellet. Now, I don't know what was in there, but he liked it. And I just threw him everywhere in the garage, and a couple days later, I was mowing the lawn, and I found his carcass under the lawnmower. One of his friends showed up a couple months later, and I thought, easy money. So I threw some more out. Our washing machine was in the garage. And that Saturday morning, I heard my wife scream. What had happened is he ate it, and where you open the door to go in for the garage, he was laying there dying, and my wife stepped on him with no shoes on. So, point is, I was trying to catch my wife, and it worked. But I had to find something that was attractive to the rat to get rid of him. And not that you're a rat, but Satan's going to bait a trap, okay? He doesn't just throw a trap out there, because you would see the trap and say, uh-oh, there's a problem. He makes it look good, and so he's going to bait it. The bait is designed to lure unsuspecting prey from their place of safety by the promise of something fulfilling. By the way, Satan makes sin look good. Satan makes sin look like something that will help me, something I have to have, something that's not as big a deal as it is. The strength of the bait is how it causes us to forgo all common and spiritual sins. People have put themselves in bad situations and have done things that have ruined their lives or caused misery, and they would tell you, I never planned on it happening, but they put themselves or they got into a place and it just got too strong and their common sense went out the window and they made a horrible, horrible, horrible decision. And the problem is they pay for it. The problem is when we see temptation, we only look at the perceived positives, what we think we'll gain from it, and we don't see the potential pain. Sin's pleasure, whatever there is in it, is very short-lived. It's not in your book, but Hebrews 11:25 says, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than the joy, the pleasures of sin for a season. And by the way, there is excitement in sin. And if you want to call that pleasure, or that, but as soon as you do it, that all goes away. Then there's guilt. Then there's the burden. Then there's the payoff. And it never matches up. And so Satan's goal when he baits the trap is to keep you from seeing that. He wants you to see what you think you need. And by the way, he places a very specific bait in front of us because the bait keeps us from seeing the trap. Look at verse 14 there, James chapter 1, verse 14. It says, every man is tempted when he is drawn away. In other words, he starts heading for the trap because he is attracted to the bait. The second thing there, it's to entice us. Entice us. It's the same principle. Satan also seeks to entice us. The word entice pictures the baiting of a hook. The bait is there to entice the fish to come and take it. Enticement for us is Satan's attempt to make something wrong look good. Now, I don't do a lot of fishing, but when I do, I get it. You want bait that is attractive to the fish, but also it hides the hook. And certain fish are attracted to certain bait. So depending on what you're going after, that determines what bait. A long time ago, I think Lloyd got us, we went to Anaheim. And we went fishing for catfish in this little man-made lake. Now, the pictures were a complete lie. They had a picture of a guy holding a catfish like this big. It's like, I don't even think there was a catfish in there, to be honest with you. We were there. There was a bunch of us. We all struck out. But I'm not going to say, but the bait for catfish are bottom feeders. They don't eat the good stuff. That bait didn't smell good. It's bad. Okay, it was the best thing you could do is get it in the water quickly. Okay, but that's what catfish like. And so you bait that hook. By the way, Satan is the ultimate salesman. He makes something that's bad for you look good. Kind of like what McDonald's tries to do, right? Okay? By the way, you see the little menu things and they got pictures on them and it looks so good and you get it and it's like, the food I got doesn't look anything like this. But he's trying to get us. He makes sin seem like something that will help us, something that we desperately want and will be convinced that we need. That is how he confused Eve, right? He caused her to look at the forbidden fruit of the tree so that she would be lured to it. Despite the fact God said, don't eat it. Despite the fact said, that's not the tree for you. But once she got her eyes on it, she focused on the fruit. Satan made it seem so good and the attraction, the way it looked, she forgot that that was, she didn't forget, but she ignored the fact that it was the wrong tree. And it was something that was forbidden by God. And by the way, if she wanted fruit, there was fruit all around that place. Yeah. Right? By the way, Satan always makes the bad look better than the best. He makes his fruit, which is rotten to the core, look better than just following God's plan and getting God's fruit. Ultimate salesman. He says, we are drawn away in verse 14, and it says, and enticed. Remember, the goal is when a fish sees that bait on the hook is to see the bait or the food, not to see the frying pan, because that's where it ends up, right? Now, not for me. I don't eat fish. I'm a Christian. But will you catch fish to eat it? And if the fish saw that and realized if I go after it, I'm going to end up in a frying pan, the fish wouldn't do that. But they don't realize that. They see the food. They see what looks good. And it blurs it. That's why fishermen call, I'm not a fisherman, but I want to be, lures. Right? That's not the bait. That's the one that looks like a little fish and you throw it in and then you reel it in slowly and it acts like a fish. It's called a lure because it lures. That's what bass like. They like to come out for lures. You throw it in there and you just reel it back in and the fish see it. It lures them out of their place of safety and then it lures them into the frying pan. That's what Satan's trying to do. He's trying to entice us. Now, here's the biggest point, and this is the thing that'll help you. If you pay attention to it. So he's trying to draw us away. He's trying to entice us. So what's the bait? If catfish like stuff that's ridiculous, trout, it's probably not the best name. We use the little yellow stuff, rainbow, what's it called? Power bait. Bang, it's rainbow, right? I guess the fish have issues. I don't know. But it's got like little, it's yellow. I'm colorblind. Yellow with little sparkly. That's what I go for because those seem to be the easiest. You put on a treble hook. It's like, that's what they like. Okay, it's attractive to them. That's what they go for. So what is Satan going to do to get us to give into temptation? It's very simple. It's been laid out for us. He wants to use our desires. Our desires. Bible calls it lust. When we think of lust, we think of one thing. That's not what the word means. The word means desires. What we want. Not necessarily in a good way either. Mostly, really, it's in the sense when it comes to temptation, it's something fleshly. We live in this flesh and our flesh desires things that aren't right. And when we got saved, we're supposed to crucify the flesh. We're supposed to take off the old man. We're supposed to put on the new man. But the old man still hangs around. And if we're not careful, he rears his ugly head. Satan uses the bait to draw us away and entice us. But what makes the bait so powerful? The power of the bait is based on the attractiveness to its intended target. Okay? I went fishing with your dad, Gray, years ago in Moses Lake. And we got a little boat. We went to this little lake, this little small private lake in the middle of nowhere. And he said, we're going to go for crappie. And he said, here, use this. Because he knew I wasn't, I like to fish. I just don't know a lot about it. And he said, you're going to go for crappie. And he put this little special lure thing on my thing. And he's like, that's what crappie like. Apparently they did, because I threw it in and within 2 minutes, I had a crappie. And then I brought him in. It may have been a girl, I'm not sure. And I threw it back out, and within a couple minutes, I had another one. Okay? That's what they wanted. He was going for bass, so he was using something different. So there's something very specific. So his bait is based on its attractiveness to a specific intended target. The bait that he uses is our own personal lust or desires. A good definition of lust in a wrong way when it comes to temptation is a wrong desire, craving, or longing for that which is forbidden by God. By God. But come on, we got to fight that. All of us have that in us. That's why we need to walk with God. That's why we need to follow the Spirit of God. And that's why we need to be in the Scriptures. But we still got to fight it. It's a battle. We don't have to lose this battle, by the way. So Satan trips us up with that which we would have a particular weakness to. That which our sinful flesh would have a longing for. Now let me say this. All of us, because we have flesh, there are certain sins and certain things that we would all naturally be attracted to, right? You can think of some of the more spiritual type ones like pride and some of those type things. But there are some sins or some things that we would be more attracted to that somebody else would not be attracted to because of our personal, you know, our makeup. So Satan will bait the hook for us with that, whereas that might not be the strong thing towards somebody else. Now, what's the good side? So he's hitting us at our weakness, but here's the good side to it. If it is something that our sinful flesh desires or our sinful weakness that we have, then we know exactly what temptation he's probably going to use on us. By the way, if you're a guy, he's always going to, one of the things he'll use in his toolbox are girls. So that's why you make provisions. Okay? If you are whatever it is, you think of whatever, you have to know what it is. Know what the Bible says about it and make provisions for it. Although all of us have certain things that we would all have struggles with, there are certain things that would be more of a struggle for individuals. I've given this illustration before, but when I was unsaved as a young person, you know, I was like all other young persons. The weekends we'd go out and we'd drink or whatever, and I drank because my friends all did. But I never liked it. I just did it because everybody else did it. By the way, when I got saved, I'm like, that was easy to give up. But, you know, so if Satan's going to try to get me back in the world, he wouldn't throw that at me because it won't work. But he knows what would. Yeah, he knows what would. And I'm going to be on guard for that. And you know also what your weakness was or what your weakness is. Here's a question you can ask yours. It's in the book. One way to figure out the strongest temptation that you might face is to ask yourself this question. If you got saved later, I mean, if you got saved as 4 years old, I'm pretty sure, you know, you didn't give up a lot. What was the hardest thing for you to give up when you started serving the Lord? When you got saved? Right? Because that's probably what resonated with you. That's probably what your flesh had more of a desire to. So guess where Satan's going to come after you? He's going to come after you in that area. Because he knows that's what works for you. That is your bait. Now, what is the penalty of giving in to temptation? And let me say this, there's always a penalty to sin. You say, well, hold on, Pastor Myers, I'm saved. And because I'm saved, I have been saved from the penalty of sin. That's correct. The eternal penalty of sin. You will never be judged when you die for your sins. Jesus Christ paid for all of them. But let me say this, the sins you do on this earth will have consequences. And you're going to pay for those here. Look, you could go out and do something stupid and shoot somebody and you know, I got my all right with God. You're still going to jail. You're not getting away with that. You can go out and you can go out and cheat on your spouse. I'm not saying you could. Don't. But and you know what? But you might pay for that. You're going to pay for it. So there is penalties, and we don't see that in the moment. And we have to see that yes, I'm forgiven by God. And by the way, Satan throws this out at you too, right? Well, like, hey, you're a Christian. I mean, you know, if you do this, all you got to do is ask God to forgive you. First of all, if you have that attitude going in, you're probably not going to ask for forgiveness afterwards. Because as soon as you do it, Satan's going to come back and he's going to forget he told you that and say, how dare you serve God? He's going to throw that burden on you. So don't fall for that. There is one thing that a Christian cannot do successfully, and that is sin. By the way, let me just ride a horse. That's why I don't understand this whole thing, you know, Christians try. I have Christian liberty, and I understand Christian liberty, free from all of that. That doesn't mean you have freedom to go back into sin. We have been freed from the penalty of sin, and we have been freed from the bondage of sin, and it's nonsense to say we have liberty to go back into sin. That's foolishness. And you buy into that, and you pay for it. So anyhow, let's move on from that. Liberty doesn't lead to license. Peter talks about false prophets, and he talks about how they'll even pick up Satan's game plan there, and they'll preach to the flesh or things that appeal to us. Salvation has given us forgiveness of sins, and we will not pay for them eternally, but we pay for them on earth. Now, what is the progression for falling for Satan's tactics and temptations and paying for them? Here's the progression. First of all, when we don't recognize what's going on and we're not careful, we give in and we sin. We give in. That's his goal. Follow through on temptation. Satan isn't a temptation just for temptation's sake. Remember we said last week, being tempted isn't a sin. If you're just living your life, you're where you should be, doing what you should do, and temptation comes, that's not a sin. And you can overcome that. The problem is when we're somewhere we shouldn't be, doing something we shouldn't do, and then we're tempted, now we put ourselves in Satan's home court, and it's a lot harder. So we need to be careful about that. So we need to be very careful. We go from being tempted to giving in to temptation. He uses the bait of the trap to keep us from seeing the pain of giving in. By the way, we preached a whole Sunday night series on separation, which is nothing more, in a sense, than obedience to God. When I decide to be obedient to God in one area, that means I'm going to do what God says, and I'm going to forsake that which I'm not supposed to do. And part of that is it helps us and it shores us up so that temptation isn't as strong. I don't understand this Christian concept like, let's see how close to sin we can get and still successfully get away from it. That doesn't make sense to me. I'd rather stay as far away from it as possible. I can't tell you, just certain things in the Bible. Okay, I'm not going to drive alone in a car with someone who's not my wife or family. Opposite sex, just me and her. I can't find a Bible verse for that. I can find principles, but I can't find. But you know what? I know this. It's gonna help keep me straight. Okay. I'm not going to go hang out in area. If I want to give up drinking, well, don't go hang out with people who are drinking. That just makes sense. Let's step away from it. So let's be very careful. The closer you get to sin, the easier it is to give in. You're building a fence. And some people want to build a fence. If you had small children and you're building a fence and there's a cliff, you wouldn't build, here's a cliff right here. You wouldn't build a fence like right up on the edge. I mean, I have small children, right? I'm going to build it back. And I'm not going to build it small. I'm going to build it high. You have a pool at your house and you have small children, you're going to want to block that thing off or put it, if you don't have a cover on it, you're not going to make it easy for them to get in or just, I think it's good enough. See, but we want to, and I'm not saying be ridiculous, but I'm saying let's be careful. Let's know where the weakness is and let's keep away from it. Because James 1 verse 15 says, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. That's the picture of a baby. Lust is there, we're going to give into it, and we've given into it. And what's the baby it produces? Sin. Here's the temptation. Here's the person that gives into it. The product is going to be sin. What happens? We sin, and then we face the consequences. And let me say this, I'm not trying to be condemning here. Sometimes people have done things and they've got themselves in trouble, right? And so what do you do at that time? You know, look, I'm for you. Just get back to doing what you're supposed to be doing. Forgive it. Get forgiveness from God. Do what you can to get to restoration and get on and go forward for God and make that something in your distant past that's something you'd never do again. But we haven't, but I'm talking about from here forward, okay? Let's be careful. We'll face the consequences. The bait caused us to bypass all that is right and accept that which is done. We forget what is right because we desire the wrong. We bypass safety, we get caught into sin. We sacrifice our future for the moment. We choose the flesh over the spirit. Moment of time. I think I mentioned that on Sunday. We ruin a lifetime of trying to do the right time in a moment of time when we give in to temptation. And we don't want to do that. Look at James 1:15 as it goes on. So it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. There's destruction everywhere. Say, are you trying to scare us? No, I'm trying. Well, yeah. I'm not trying to scare us. I'm trying to get us to think, right? Because what happens in the moment, we don't think. We're not careful. Temptation comes. It gets strong. We don't think about what's going to happen down the road. We don't think about what it's doing to ourselves. If we're married, we don't think about what it's doing to our wife. We don't think about what it's going to do to our family. And we make this goofy decision, and we do something crazy, and we blow everything up. And even worst case, I don't have a spouse, and I don't have children, so you blow yourself up. You're ruining your future. How many young people over the years do I know that gave into something and did something wrong and it destroyed their direction and it ruined their future? And they thought just this small little thing. It's not small. It's not small. Satan always gets us to buy into that. Now, how do I avoid the trap of temptation? Now that we know what temptation comes from and how Satan plans to utilize it, we are now ready to avoid it, okay? The Bible is clear, this is good, that we do not have to be defeated by temptation. Think about it. Why does the Bible talk about temptation then? You know why he talks about it? He wants us to know what it is. He wants us to know how it works. He wants us to be ready so that we don't give into it and we don't do something horrific, and we don't do something that ruins our lives and our families. Let me just give you one thought underneath this, and then we'll be done for tonight. First of all, realize that you will be tempted. We must first realize that temptation will come our way. The Bible makes it very clear. Every man will be tempted. Now, that it doesn't have to necessarily frighten us. It should put us on guard, right? If we're walking with God and we're close to God and we're doing the right thing, we're not doing anything that would put, you know, that when temptation rears its head, you can get through it easily, to be honest with you. And by the way, and it can start with small things. You'll be at work and your boss will say, hey, answer that phone. And if it's so-and-so, tell him I'm not here. Now, if your boss knows you're a Christian, what are you going to do? I'm going to say, okay, real quick, get in your car and leave. I remember my dad. I worked for my dad when I was unsaved, and he told me to calm down. And then I worked for my dad after I was saved, and he told me to quit calming down. He didn't quite get the concept. But he wasn't saved, and someone called on the phone. And I wasn't trying to be hard-headed. He's like, answer that. If it's this guy, tell him I'm not here. And I'm like, I can't do that. He goes, what? I'm like, I'm a Christian now. He goes, oh, come on. And the phone's ringing, and I'm like, I can't do it. He goes, okay, just don't answer it at all. Now, he may not have liked it, but I'm sure he appreciated it that he knew I could be honest for him. We had a guy one time, he asked one of the guys in our church to lie for him at work. And I don't even know where he came up with this phrase. It was great. He told his boss, he goes, I can't do that because if I lie for you, I'll lie to you. And his boss is like, okay, I don't want you to do that. So you will be tempted. It's common to every man, so we better be ready for it. Every man is tempted. And I like this verse. 1 Corinthians 10:13, and we'll look at the rest of it next week as we finish next week. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. So you know it's going to come. Be ready for it. And let's pray. Father, thank you. Father, thank you for loving us, and thank you for the Word of God and its instruction. And it specifically instructs us on so many things, but in this area of temptation. And Lord, I pray you'd help all of us to be wise enough to follow your heed, to understand what's at stake, and to be on guard, to keep ourselves in a place of safety, to walk close to you and never deviate. Lord, help us to get through this life successfully like we can when we follow you. Be with us now until we meet together Sunday. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.